I pray, Lord, now that as we get into your word, that your word would get into us. It would accomplish everything you intend for it to accomplish in this house. And it would be root planted in us to bring forth a harvest, fruit of repentance, fruit of righteousness, fruit of good works, and fruit of the Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house? Have you felt the Spirit of God in this house this morning? Amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you so much to our band and to our media team back there. Thank y'all so much. Thank you guys so much. Let's get right into it. We are continuing our series in the seven letters to the churches in Revelation this morning. We're looking at the church in Philadelphia, and I should have had you guys play Rocky theme music to start this one off. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? We're looking at the letter to the church in Philadelphia, not that Philadelphia, is in Asia. And let's just get into it this morning. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 7, it says this: "Write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, thus says the Holy One, the True One, the One who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, who closes and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I've placed before you an open door that no one can close, but you have but little power. Yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. Know this, I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not but are lying. I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I've loved you. Because you have kept my command to endure, I will keep you from the hour of testing that's going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. To the one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out again. I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Let anyone who has ears listen to what the Spirit says to the churches." And the church said, amen. Amen. I love this. I love this. When he says, it gets me excited every time I read it. The one, thus says the Holy One, the True One, the One who has the key of David. Jesus is the Holy One, the True One. He is the One. And listen, church, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever you may be battling against today, know that the Holy One, the True One, is still on the throne. The Holy One, the True One, is still able to save and heal and deliver. The Holy One, the True One, is still the One who delivers and sets free. The Holy One and the True One. You aren't the Holy One. I ain't the Holy One. You ain't the True One. I ain't the True One. But the Holy One, the True One, ever liveth to make intercession for His people. He still sits on the throne. He is alive and well, and He is worthy. Amen. We're going to read this morning. We're going to look this morning at the Church of Philadelphia and the Church of Real Life Community Church. How to read Scripture. Let's talk about that for a minute. We're going to dig in here, all right? So there are two perspectives. I want us to look at the passage that we just read this morning from two perspectives. I'm going to try to do it quick this morning. We're going to look at it for what it meant to the original hearer, Philadelphia, and then what it means for us. Because that's how somebody should study Scripture. That's how you should read Scripture. What did the passage say to the original reader? What did it say to them? And now, how does this passage fit with the rest of Scripture, or the big story of Scripture? What did it say to them? How does it fit in with the overall story? And then, how do I apply what God's Word says to me in a way that is faithful to those first two questions? How do I apply what God's Word says to me in a way that's faithful to what it said to the original hearer and how it fits in the overall concept or idea of Scripture? One cannot, it's important though, that you do not leave out the work of the Holy Spirit when studying Scripture. But we also can't leave room for any other spirit to bring confusion as we get into the Word. So, God speaks through His Word. And it's important for us to understand what He is saying. God's Word will not return empty. It will always accomplish what He intends it to accomplish. What I am telling you this morning, what I'm saying, church, is this. You need general guidelines when studying Scripture. But your study of Scripture should not be head engaged only. It should be heart engaged as well. You got to listen to the Spirit with both your heart and with your mind. That's how we love the Lord, right? You love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And so you've got to engage the Word with your mind and with your spirit. See, some folks check their brains at the door when they study the Scripture. And they go wherever they believe the Spirit is leading them, even if it contradicts Scripture. And some folks only read and study Scripture for knowledge, but never allow the Spirit to do work in them through the reading of the Word. So this morning we're going to dig in and look at what Jesus was saying to the church at Philadelphia, and then we're going to see what that means for us. Right here, 21st century America, Iron Station, North Carolina, 28080. All right? So let's do that this morning. The word to the churches, the first is to Philly. All right? Philly, right? The key of David, Revelation 3:7 says, write to the angel church of Philadelphia, thus says the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and closes, no one opens. Listen this morning. The key of David, this has to do with the Davidic covenant. Y'all know about the Davidic covenant. It was God's promise to David through Nathan the prophet. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's later characterized and summarized in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. It has to do with God's promises to David and Israel that the Messiah, that Jesus Christ, would come from the lineage of David and from the tribe of Judah, and that he would establish a kingdom that would endure forever. That's the Davidic covenant, right? That is the key of David. This Davidic covenant was important because it was an unconditional covenant. Had no conditions. God does not place any conditions of obedience from David on the fulfillment of this covenant. The surety of this promise rests solely on God's faithfulness. The Davidic covenant, this covenant, it has several key promises that are made to David. First one is that God reaffirms the promise of land, right? There will be land. Like he made that to Abraham. He made it in the Mosaic covenants. And so the Davidic covenant reaffirms that. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, it says, I'll designate a place for my people. Then God promises that David's son will succeed him as king of Israel, and that his son Solomon will build a temple. That promise is seen in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 12, it says, when your time comes, you'll rest with your ancestors, and I will raise up after you a descendant who will come from your body, and I'll establish his kingdom. And he will be the one who builds a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And then the promise continues, and the promise to David expands. It says in verse 13, I'll establish the throne of his kingdom forever. The house of your kingdom will endure forever. Your throne will be established forever. What began as a promise to David's son Solomon would turn into the promise of an everlasting kingdom. That there will be another son of David who will rule forever and build a lasting house. That one would be, as we see and trace the lineage through Matthew's genealogy, that one would be Jesus. And in Matthew 29, Jesus is called the Son of David. And Jesus talks about his body as a temple. He says, you can destroy this temple, and in 3 days it will be rebuilt. Jesus is the better temple that is eternal and everlasting that we can come into, run into, and find the everlasting King of Kings in this temple. This covenant is summarized by words house. It has to do with the lineage of David. By the words kingdom, referring to a people who are governed by a king. By the word throne, emphasizing the authority of the king's rule, forever emphasizing the eternal and unconditional nature of the promise to David and to those who would follow David. So what does this mean to the churches? Well, to the church in Philly, the church of Philadelphia, he's saying you are now following the Messiah. You are helped by the promised one. Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, the holy one, the true one, the chosen king, the deliverer. His kingdom will never end. He will establish the land and fulfill its promise. His kingdom is an ever-expanding kingdom and an ever-expanding land. You, church in Philadelphia, belong to that kingdom, and the kingdom has expanded into Roman land, into Asia Minor, and I know your works, and I have placed before you an open door. Let's talk about that door. What does that door mean to Philadelphia? It says Jesus is the one who opens the door to his kingdom. Amen. The Christians in Philadelphia were being cut off. They were being shut off. They were being persecuted by Rome. They were being separated by the Jews. They were withdrawing from cultural expectations because of their new relationship to Jesus. What Jesus was telling them was that he is the master of the kingdom. He is the king. He opens and he shuts the doors. The rejection by Rome and by the synagogue, they were being shut out, was, according to Jesus, and in light of Jesus' words here, of little consequence, because while they may have been shut out by the world standards, they have been given an open door into the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, King Jesus. No matter, Philadelphia, your rejection or your persecution, you belong to the faithful one, and you must remain faithful. No one comes to the Father but Jesus, but through Jesus. No one can enter the kingdom unless they enter through him. He's the door. He tells us in the Gospels, Jesus says that I am the door. You have to pass through him. If you receive him, the door is open to you, Philadelphia. If you reject him, Philadelphia, the door is shut to you. I know, Philadelphia, that you don't have a lot of power. You won't have much authority. You don't have much power. Rome is in control. The Jewish synagogue has religious power over the Jews there. I know you don't have a lot of power, Philadelphia. I know that you are marginalized, Philadelphia. I know that you're pushed aside. I know that you're persecuted. I know that you're ridiculed. I know that you're rejected by your own people. But don't give up, Philadelphia. Your hope isn't in their power. Your hope isn't in your power. Your hope is in Christ's power, Philadelphia. You can keep going. And since your confidence is in me, Philadelphia, you have kept my word and you have not denied my name. Therefore, Philadelphia, if you will be faithful, it will lead to fruitfulness. Amen. Jesus praises the church in Philadelphia for their faithfulness. He doesn't correct them. He praises them. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. There's no rebuke. There's no chastisement. There's no discipline. Listen, I'm sure they weren't a perfect people. I'm sure they weren't a perfect church, but they were a faithful people. I'm going to say it again. I'm sure they weren't a perfect people, and I'm sure they weren't a perfect church, but they were a faithful people. Amen. And so Jesus speaks well of them. Thank you, brother. Jesus speaks well of them because their faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Verse 9 of Revelation 3. Note this, I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not but are lying, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. Y'all see this? Faithfulness not only leads to fruitfulness to the church at Philadelphia, faithfulness leads to reward to the church at Philadelphia. The Jews in Philadelphia met in the synagogue, but they rejected their promised Messiah, the one who held the key of David. Jesus brings encouragement to the church in Philadelphia and says that those who reject Jesus as Messiah aren't really Jews. That's what Jesus said. He's reminding them that it is not in law keeping. He's reminding them that it's not in national racial identity. He's reminding them that it's not in being a natural descendant of Abraham. Jesus is telling the church in Philadelphia that their citizenship in Jesus' kingdom comes by faith in the one who opens the door to the kingdom. He's telling the church in Philadelphia, you are the true Jews because you're following me. You are a spiritual heir of a spiritual promise. You are spiritual descendants of Abraham because you follow the true descendant of David. The Jews in Philadelphia who have rejected Jesus will be forced to acknowledge their sin and will have to submit to God's plan for those who trust in Jesus. That's what Jesus said. Right? They will bow. That's what Jesus said. The church into the church in Philadelphia. Those Jews are going to bow because they're going to be forced to recognize that they are outside the kingdom. But there are Gentiles who are actually Jews inwardly because they have come through Jesus. So he tells them, it may not look like that right now, but if you will patiently endure, Philadelphia, because you've kept my command to endure, I will keep you from the hour of testing that's going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. The church, again, here, Jesus is recognizing Philadelphians for their faithfulness. They kept the word. They held on to the promise. And because of that, he says, I will keep you from the hour of trial. It's going to come on the whole world. What does that mean, this hour of trial, Philadelphia, to this church? Listen, the hour of trial goes beyond martyrdom because they were being martyred. The hour of trial goes beyond persecution because they were being persecuted. The hour of trial goes beyond tribulation because they were facing tribulation. We are promised persecution in Jesus. Praise the Lord. There are martyrs in Revelation and throughout church history. There is persecution even now. Jesus is promising that the wrath or the judgment of the wicked that will be poured out on those who have rejected the kingdom of God and His Christ will not touch the church. God will pour out His wrath against the ungodly, but the Philadelphians don't have to worry about that judgment because He will keep them. He's not going to judge them like He's going to judge the others. Because they're faithful, He's not going to judge them the way He judges the others. And so when He comes and He brings judgment to the wicked, He's going to bring a crown to those who are faithful. Amen. Verse 11, I'm coming soon, hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. The result of His return to the Philadelphians here contrasts the return of His return for the ungodly. The ungodly will receive judgment, wrath. The Philadelphians will receive reward. And there'll be a pillar in the temple. Now this is probably an allusion to the two pillars in the temple of Jerusalem called the Yekin and the Boaz. They represented stability and strength. Listen, the church is the temple of Christ is the foundation on which the temple, the church is built. His ministers are the pillars by which under Jesus it is supported. Paul uses the same allusion in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. And so, while the Christians in Philadelphia weren't welcome in the synagogue, and while they were compelled by the Spirit to avoid the idols of the temple and the Roman cult, and since they were persecuted and killed by Rome, Jesus is again encouraging the Philadelphians with a promise. You will be pillars in my temple. You will always be welcome in my presence. You will be ones who support my kingdom. I will write a new name on you, a name that can't be blotted out. I'll write the name of my God because you belong to them. I'll write the name of Jerusalem because you belong to the promise of Abraham and David. Because of Jesus, you're citizens of that heavenly city. And I'll write a new name, a name that all one receives when they know Jesus. Amen. And verse 13 says, Jesus says, let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit speaks, are you listening? So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? Well, to the key, the one who holds the key of David. Just remind you, Real Life Community Church, Jesus is still the King. Jesus is still seated on the throne. Jesus is still exalted. Jesus is still the promised one. His kingdom is still advancing. He will return and take His place on the throne. Don't lose heart. Jesus is the promised one, and Jesus' rule is ever expanding. The land is ever expanding. The territory is ever expanding. The gates of hell will not prevail because the territory is ever expanding. The kingdom of God has made it to Iron Station, North Carolina, and His rule and His reign cannot be stopped. When it seems like His kingdom has stopped advancing, it's because we've lost sight of what He is doing. He is the key of David. The Davidic covenant finds its fulfillment in Jesus. Jesus is the key to the covenant. Jesus is the key to the promise. Jesus is the key that unlocks the door to the kingdom. I know your works. Look, I've placed before you an open door. No one can close, but you have little power, yet you have kept your word and not denied my name. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the key to unlocking the door of the kingdom to real life community church. That means that no one comes to the Father but by him. No one enters the kingdom except through him. He is the door. He told us in the Gospels that he is the door. You have to pass through him. If you receive him, the door is open to you. If you reject him, the door is shut to you. It means this to us. Jesus is the highest authority, the highest power. There is no salvation apart from him. It means if you reject him, it will be, you must be, will be rejected by the world, but Jesus will not reject you. Amen. Listen. You are welcome into a kingdom that no one can shut you out of in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 31 through 39 says, what shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be? Who can be? What? Who can be against us? He did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Amen. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He is also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We're counted as sheep unto the slaughter. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor against angels or rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth, nor anything created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The door has been opened for us. Who shall bring a charge against us? Nobody. Who can shut the door of God's kingdom and God's blessings and God's promises? Nobody. Who can stand in the way of God? Nobody. I tell you, church, you may have but little power, but we have the one who is the key of David. I turn the air down, but I don't believe it happens. little power to the church at Real Life Community Church. Little power. You may have, no matter your social status, no matter your economic status, even though you may face ridicule, even persecution to the point of death, as many of our brothers and sisters around the world will face, you can keep on going and not give up. You can count the cost of being Christ's disciple and find worth it. Because your strength isn't in yourself, it's in the power that is in you through the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is now at work in you. You have a little power, but in our weakness, he is made strong. Amen. Our strength, the strength of our church isn't in ourselves, it's in our Savior. And our faithfulness is in Christ Jesus. Our strength isn't in our size, our status, our programs, our pastor, our leaders, our location, or our abilities. Our strength is in our King. Amen. And if we will stay focused and not deny his name, we will see that faithfulness for Real Life Community Church leads to fruitfulness. You have kept my name, my word, and not denied my name. Listen, church, Jesus is still looking for faithful followers, for faithful people. And he still speaks life and encouragement and strength and hope to those who follow. We are not a perfect people. We are not a perfect church, but we can be faithful. We can be a faithful people. We can be faithful in our service to Him. We can be faithful in our worship to Him. We can be faithful in our obedience to Him. We can be faithful in our work, in our witness of Him. Jesus is looking for faithful people. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for obedient, faithful people. And faithfulness brings fruitfulness. Unfaithfulness cuts us out of Israel from the land. Unfaithfulness cuts us out of the kingdom. But faithfulness is honored. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Revelation 3:9, note this, I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews or not, but are lying, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. Church, faithfulness leads to reward. Real life community church. Jesus is telling us there is only one truth. Any other claim to God, any other way to God, claim to get to God is a lie. All roads don't lead to the Father. Jesus is the door. He is still opening the door for all who would become spiritual descendants of Abraham. Our citizenship doesn't depend on our genealogy. One doesn't automatically get a pass to the letter of the Philadelphia. One didn't automatically get a pass because their Jewish ancestry. Listen. Real life community church, you don't get a pass because of your mama or your daddy or your grandma or your grandpa. You don't get a pass. You've got to come through the door yourself. You got to come to Jesus yourself. Our entry into the kingdom rests solely on our faith in Jesus as the promised one from God who died and yet lives forever as prophet, priest, and king. All the ungodly will bow before Jesus and the people of God. So what should you do? Well, first you should acknowledge who Jesus is and commit your life to following Him and be faithful. And you should patiently endure. Because you've kept my command to endure, I will keep you from the hour of testing that's come on the whole world. What's he saying? What's that say to us, Real Life Community Church? Jesus is reminding us that trials will come. You may have to endure hardships. But if you will keep His word, if we will keep His word, if we will hold on to the promises of God, which find their yes and their amen in Christ Jesus, He will keep you from the hour of trial. Amen. What is this hour of trial? He will keep us from the wrath of God. We will be kept safe in that hour. Listen, it won't be long. It's just an hour. But we don't have to fear that hour. We will be kept safe from that hour. There is no fear of God's judgment for the believer. You got to hear that. You got to hear that. If you are in Christ, you don't have to fear punishment or judgment. There is no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear. Fear has to do with judgment. You don't have to be afraid of the wrath, of the judgment. You don't have to be afraid. You are loved by God. And because of that, we are safe and will be kept safe in Christ Jesus. And there is a crown that will be with His coming. Hold what you have so that no one takes your crown. No one takes your crown. See to it. Be faithful. Patiently endure. His promise is still true. There is a crown. There is a crown. He's patient. He is still true. He's not slow in keeping His promises. A day with God is like 1,000 years. His timetable is an hour timetable. He will return. He will bring judgment on the ungodly, but He will reward His people. Instead of wrath, we will receive a crown. He will keep you from the hour of trial that's coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. And church, Real Life Community Church, you will be a pillar in God's temple. You will be a pillar in God's temple. Listen, in God's temple, while our ideas may not be popular in culture, while our ideas may not be popular in the White House or the halls of Congress, while our beliefs may be mocked by Hollywood or by social influencers, while there may be those of us who use political, who use the gospel, use our faith for political advancement, if we're faithful, we're still pillars in God's temple. Amen. Those who are faithful are the strength and the stability of God's temple. What does that mean? It means that we hold it up. We give folks access to come to the door, welcoming all who will come inside. The door is open. Jesus invites us in. He writes God's name on us. We belong to Him. He writes the name of His city on us. We are rightful inhabitants of the city of God. We have as much right to it as anyone ever has. Listen, the promise of the city is fulfilled partially in us. The liars, frauds, rebellious, they don't get in, but those who acknowledge King Jesus are welcome. And then He writes on us a new name. We know Him more intimately, more completely, Real Life Community Church. We know Him by faith more intimately, more completely, and more assuredly. Than those who bowed to the King. We have been welcomed in His kingdom. Let anyone who hears listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit is still speaking today. Are you listening? There was an old CCM song back in the 90s. It said, He is not silent. We are not listening. He is speaking. The Spirit is speaking to the churches. Are you listening? Will you enter into the door so that you can become a pillar in the temple? Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your word. Lord, make me a pillar in the temple. Lord, make me a pillar in the temple. I want to be a pillar in the temple. Lord, now I pray right now for the folks in this house. Lord, I pray that they would be faithful. That they will be reminded this morning that the Spirit is speaking. Let us be faithful. Let us be obedient. Let us recognize who we serve, that He is the key. He is the key. He holds the keys to the kingdom. He is the key of David. He is the key to every promise's fulfillment. He is the key that opens up the windows of heaven. He is the key. And this morning, we find our hope in You. This morning, your heads are bowed. You would say, Pastor, the Spirit spoke to me in this message this morning, and I'm not going to limit. That's where I'm going to go. I just want to ask you, the Spirit has spoken to me in this message this morning, and I just want to come and pray, or I need prayer. And I want you to pray for me this morning. It's that simple. It's that simple of a response. If that's you this morning, right now you can come. Would you stand with me across this house? The tables are open. As we do every week here at Real Life Community Church, we receive the elements of communion. We come to the table to meet Jesus. And this morning, if the Spirit has spoken to you and you desire prayer, I want you to know that after you receive the elements of communion, you can just stay here. We'll pray with you. This morning, Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your word that You are still speaking. And I thank You for Your Spirit that is still speaking the word. Lord, search our hearts. I'm going to lead us in communion. And after I partake of the cup and the bread, then you're free to come and you can receive here. You can go back to your seat and receive. receive as the Spirit leads you. And if you desire prayer, you may stay here. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat." Thank you, Jesus. He took the cup and he blessed it. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for the remission of your sin. Drink all of it." Sin has been crushed by the blood of Christ Jesus. As the Spirit speaks, you're free to receive.